The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Thursday, December 18th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll catch up with Todd Gleason, who is on the road at the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. In agricultural news, reaction is generally favorable to President-elect Barack Obama's pick of former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack for USDA Secretary. We have an in-depth report. And we'll have the latest on weather conditions across the Midwest. It's all on the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Thursday afternoon, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, March wheat, 590 and a half up 12 and a quarter. May, 602 up 12 and a quarter. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat, 571 and a half up 14. May, 584 and a quarter up 14. July, 596 and a half up 14. September, 617 and a quarter up 12 and three quarters. March corn, 389 and a half unchanged. May, $4 and a quarter down a quarter. July, 410 and three quarters, down a quarter. September, 421, down a half. December of 2009, 434 and three quarters, down a half. March of 2010, 446 and a half, down three quarters. January beans, 869 and a half, up five and a half. March, 874 and a half, up five and a half. July, 886, up five and a half. Take it out to November of 2009, 902 and a quarter, up six and a quarter. January soybean meal, 266.30, up 310. March, 266.60, up 350. January soybean oil, 30.70, down 30. March, 31.04, down 32. December live cattle, 84.70, down 175. January feeders, 92.40, down 105. And February lean hog, 62.47 and a half, down 15 on the day. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and in Chicago. Let's go ahead and take a look at the outside markets. January crude oil, 38.20, yes, a three handle, down 186. February, 42.95, down 186. Make that 166. January ethanol, the settlement 157 and 3, down 19. February, 158.2, down 18. January natural gas, the settlement there, 556, down 59. February, 562, down 48. January RBOB at 974 and a half, and it's down 3 and 10. February at 101.30, and it's down 3.45. January heating oil, 138.79, down 5.46. January propane, no trade there, but the February at 68.25, it's up 42.5. Silver contract, don't see a trade in the silver, but the gold for February, 860.60, down $7.90. The U.S. dollar, 79.53, up 95, and the S&P 500, 896, down 782. Ed Kieser tells us an ice storm warning is in effect for DeWitt, Logan, and McLean counties from 3 p.m. today through 12 noon tomorrow. An ice storm warning is in effect for Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties from 7 p.m. today through 12 noon tomorrow. A freezing rain advisory is in effect for Champaign, Piatt, and Vermilion counties from 3 p.m. today through 12 noon tomorrow. And a freezing rain advisory is in effect for Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Sangamon, and Shelby counties from 3 p.m. today until 6 a.m. tomorrow. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the agricultural futures is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He is in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Dick. Dave.
Well, it looks to me like today, more or less, was a carbon copy of yesterday with the wheat up, the beans up, and corn showing a little weakness.
Well, but for the week, we're doing okay. I mean, I do think that the market has kind of pulled out of at least a short-term low that we kind of put in last week. The market, I know, is spending some time consolidating. But when you look at March corn futures, when we dipped below that 380 level, we went all the way down to 310, and now we've come back and closed above the 380. Yesterday, we did have a high up there around 402. So we're at least back into the 380, 450 type trading range that we were in during October and first part of November. So, you know, I think it is at least ideas, at least technically, that we did put in at least a low for now in the corn market. And now the key here, I think, in corn is to close above this 402 area. This 402 area is a 23.6% retracement level of the decline that we had off of the high on a lead option basis that was posted back in July and the most recent low. So tech chart types are going to be looking at closes above this 402 area to see whether or not this corn rally has any meaningful legs underneath it to go on up and try maybe some higher levels up here around 425 to 435 area anyway.
And are you optimistic that we're going to see, before March goes off the board, an attempt at the top of that range at the 445 level?
Well, I think you got to give it a shot. I mean, I know everybody got awfully bearish, and I know that the demand fundamentals look fairly weak right now. From a technical, pure technical perspective, I think there's at least ideas that this market may want to be able to do that. I'm at least optimistic for us to go halfway back into this 70-cent range, which would be, let's say, 35 cents added on to 380. That puts you in the 415 and 425 area. I'm at least that optimistic, and I would not rule out a move to 450. Now, we're going to need to see some things happen. They may not be necessarily happening in the corn market, but they may happen in the wheat market, and they may happen in the soybean market, and corn may end up being more of a follower. I think you can kind of see that the wheat market is having a tendency to show a little more willingness to go higher, same way with soybeans and maybe corn here over the past couple of days. And I guess it's my belief that if this market is going to have a meaningful recovery rally, that I think it's going to be led by wheat. And we'll have to kind of see how those fundamentals pan out over the next few months. But I do think, you know, at least here in the U.S., acreage levels, I think, have fallen sharply. We're not going to get any confirmed number out of the USDA until the January report. But I think there's reason to believe that the wheat market may rally into that January report, and if that's correct, then it'll provide some underlying spillover support to the corn market.
The wheat market will rally on what fundamentals?
Well, I think shrinking supplies and increasing demand.
Both.
And I think, you know, as it maybe doesn't sound very good, but I think if depending upon how this world recessionary activity is basically, well, I think a stronger wheat market is basically going to tell you that the world population, we're going to move to more of a cereal-based diet than maybe and less red meat. And see, corn is considered a feed grain and also an energy component. And, of course, that's what's been hitting the corn market probably more so than anything, is this decline in crude oil prices and a decline corresponding decline in gasoline futures is putting a lot of pressure on the ethanol producer to make any money. So demand's on the weak side. And then when you get into an economic recession like this, people are driving less. There's less gasoline consumption. So that means that there's less demand for ethanol. So that's the main problem here with the corn market, at least in the near term.
Let's turn our attention to the beans, technically, where since they had its spike low at 779 1/4 on the 5th of December, it's rallied over a dollar, which is more than halfway to the range that it's been trading in.
Yeah, and one thing that I like about the soybean market is that we have broken above that long-term downtrend that measured off of the June-July highs, connected to maybe like an August high or what. I'm away from my desk, so I don't know exactly where those that trend line is. But we are mustering some closes above that downtrend line, I think, which is a again an indication that maybe that we put a good low in the bean market for now, and we can maybe begin to climb higher in here. I think we could go halfway back into this, like this 840, 850 range on the bottom side to the upper end of the range. I think was somewhere around 990 or let's say $10. I think there's reason that we can maybe climb back to the $9 area or 910, 915 on the March futures. So I would not rule that out. Now, fundamentally, we're going to have some help, and I think maybe that may come from weather adversities in South America. The default weather pattern down there has been dry, and depending upon which meteorologist you talk to, indicate that pattern looks to stay in place. So we could, after the first of the year, or maybe even sooner, begin to start talking about declining crop prospects out of South America, and that would be generally supportive to maybe that better retracement type rally that looking at on soybeans, maybe back up toward that $9 area on the March futures.
Thank you, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He is in Decatur, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, the Energy Information Administration says the United States will fall well short of biofuels mandates on the uncertain development of next-generation fuels made from grasses and wood chips. The EIA says the U.S. will only blend about 30 billion gallons of fuels like corn-based ethanol and the advanced fuels into gasoline by 2022. That is about 17% short of the U.S. mandate of 36 billion gallons by that year. Ethanol producers are pushing for changes in blending regulations to allow more of the fuel to be blended into gasoline that is burned in regular cars. Currently, rules limit gasoline to 10% ethanol, while specially made flex fuel cars can burn fuel that is 85% ethanol. Tyson Foods says that it has secured extra breathing room from lenders amid an industry downturn. The company agreed to pledge substantially all of its assets in return for more flexibility on the covenants attached to a $1 billion revolving loan. Tyson, which raised fresh capital earlier this year, has been partially sheltered by the strength of its beef and pork operations. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has backstopped $2 billion of debt issued by farm equipment maker Deere & Company. The offering, which is guaranteed by the FDIC's Temporary Liquidity Guarantee Program, allows Deere's credit arm to pay under 3% interest on its borrowing, saving the firm tens of millions of dollars. The credit union helps finance farmers' purchases of tractors and other machines. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In tapping former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack as his choice for USDA Secretary, President-elect Barack Obama says Vilsack will bring knowledge of agriculture as well as his work on biofuels, wind energy, and climate change to the post.
Tom Vilsack has been a leader among governors when it comes to clean energy, when it comes to agriculture. Obviously, if you don't know agriculture, you're not going to be the governor of Iowa. And one of the things that has struck me about Tom, though, is as fiercely protective of family farms and the farm economy as he has been, he's also been forward-looking in thinking about how can we move towards cellulosic ethanol? How can we harness wind and solar power to give a boost to our rural economies? And part of the reason that Iowa, during the midst of some very difficult economic times, has more than held its own is because of the terrific work that Tom did when he was governor.
As an attorney in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, before he entered politics and served two terms as state's governor, Vilsack says he worked with farm families through tough economic times in agriculture during the 1980s. Obama's vision is for Vilsack to work together with Interior Secretary selection Ken Salazar, a Democrat senator from Colorado. Obama says Vilsack and Salazar were paired to be stewards of America's natural resources.
Together, they will serve as guardians of the American landscape on which the health of our economy and the well-being of our families so heavily depend. And one of the great blessings bestowed upon us as Americans is the bounty of our natural environment, from the mountains and parks where we go hiking, to the rivers and streams where we go fishing, to the forests and fields where the proud tradition of hunting is passed on through the generations. But our wide open spaces are not only a blessing to be enjoyed, they're the foundations of a brighter future. How we harness our natural resources, from the farmlands of Iowa to the springs of Colorado, will speak not only to our quality of life, but to our economic growth and our energy future.
Groups ranging from the American Farm Bureau to the Humane Society of the U.S. had positive comments about the nomination of Vilsack to be Agriculture Secretary. Mark Maslin is Executive Director of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau. Humane Society President and CEO Wayne Pacelli says Vilsack, quote, has the smarts and experience to bring this agency into the 21st century and to confront the enormous challenges that his predecessors have largely sidestepped. Pacelli noted Vilsack vetoed a bill while Iowa governor that would have allowed the shooting of mourning doves. Groups representing grain producers were also supportive. American Soybean Association Chairman John Hoffman says picking a USDA secretary from America's heartland is the right choice in uncertain times and volatile futures markets.
Iowa is the number one corn soy producing state. We're the number one hogs and turkeys and eggs. So he's got a basic knowledge and understanding of the importance of agriculture to the U.S. economy. It was, you know, just the state of Iowa, agriculture is about 25% of the economy. So prosperity in rural America, I think they'll be supportive of renewable energy. And I think it's a good thing for U.S. soybean farmers and U.S. farmers in general.
But organic groups were not enamored with the Vilsack nomination. The Organic Consumers Association, which opposes biotechnology, says Obama's choice sent a chill through the sustainable food and farming community who have been lobbying for a champion in the new administration. Vilsack's appointment came somewhat as a surprise, especially given that he had told reporters last month that he did not think he would be nominated to serve in the cabinet because at that point he had not been contacted, which led Obama yesterday to quip, "I don't know who led him to believe that. Whoever did obviously was misinformed because here he stands." This is Dave Dickey, AM 580 Agriculture. The Illinois Economic Summits are happening this week across the state. Our own Todd Gleason is hosting the day-long Illinois U of I Extension programs, and he joins us now. Good afternoon, Todd.
Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Well, you know, you've been out there across Illinois, and the weather isn't been too keen in places. How's it now, and what does it mean for tomorrow's meetings?
Well, here are a couple of things, Dave. We're traveling now across 88 from Moline to DeKalb, headed for tomorrow's meeting, thinking that we probably should try to be out ahead of this weather that's scheduled to come in. That's been in contact with that teaser quite a bit today. Hopefully that Galesburg was in for a rough ride. That's where we're to for today's meeting. So we shortened the meeting up but got out early, so to be in DeKalb. And we will be there tomorrow for that DeKalb meeting. But plan on hunkering down in Sycamore tonight at the Comfort Inn, and hopefully we'll have a few folks who can make it in. I don't know what Ed's saying about the number of inches of snow that they might get at this point, but weather is still clear here coming across 88. Interestingly, Dave, there's a whole lot of corn, actually. Not a whole lot, but four corn acres here that are still standing across this part of the world that I thought I might see.
Talk a little bit about, if you will, about who's putting on these summits and what kind of information has been shared this week.
It's an interesting summit. They're the ag economists from the University of Illinois. Those are the folks that run the FarmDoc site. We call them the FarmDoc team. There are seven participants in eight programs through the day. They run about half an hour, at least, generally speaking. They talk about crop production costs, what income looks like, what farm policy and new farm programs, the acre program might be like, and how that will impact Illinois farmers. And, of course, Darrell Good is along with us to take a look at how we might be looking at the commodities in terms of price. Scott Irwin is here as well. Ag economist takes up the ethanol issue.
As you're listening to those meetings, are there anything that that you think that you and I should be thinking about as we come forward and come back home and look at programming?
Well, I think, Dave, the one thing that struck me, and maybe you could tell me what the price of crude oil at the moment is, but that it appears to me that the economists believe that maybe we ought to be putting crude oil not as an outside market, but as a regular part of our midday update. That's the screen that Dave and I and the rest of the company there at WILL use to update the marketplace. And the crude oil is playing such a vital part of the ag economy anymore that we need to run that number out on a regular basis as opposed to dealing with it as just an outside market.
In fact, crude oil, a three handle today, Todd, at $36.45. Amazing. Go ahead.
That's a low price for the day, and anything under 40 is going to put the ethanol industry under a whole lot of pressure later in the year, I think, if it would be able to be sustained.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
That's Todd Gleason, our own Todd Gleason, AM 580 Closing Market Report and Commodity Week host. It's National Roast Suckling Pig Day. A suckling pig is a young pig that has only been fed on its mother's milk. Traditionally, the dish is roasted, and the skin is valued for pork rinds. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, New Jersey became the third state to enter the United States. New Jersey's many truck farms, orchards, and flower gardens give the state its nickname, the Garden State. In 1865, slavery was abolished in the United States. The 13th Amendment proclaimed neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, save as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. At the time of its ratification, slavery remained legal only in Delaware, Kentucky, and Missouri. By the way, Illinois was the first state of the Union to ratify the amendment, passing it on February 1st of 1865. Also in 1865, the first U.S. cattle importation law was passed, and in 1991, the International Project to Save the Brazilian Rainforest was launched. The controversial initiative attempted to stem new logging and ranching in the Amazon. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I suppose we ought to first get to weather right here in the Midwest, where I guess a pretty severe set of circumstances is crossing our way.
Yes, we are going to see the result of some warm and moist air trying to overrun this cold air mass that's been lying over most of the Midwest the last day or so, and that's already evident in the cloudiness and some precipitation working its way through Missouri and eventually getting into western Illinois this evening and tonight. The problem is where the snow and rain line is going to be. It looks like it's going to be mostly snow north of I-80, and then there'll be a transition zone there south of there down to I-74, and then maybe from there south it looks like it'll be mostly a freezing rain or sleet, which is a mess of its own, as these surface temperatures in the low to mid-20s are pretty well trapped in there. Then when you get well downstate, south of I-70, it's going to be mostly a little sleet and then some rain. So a really messy weather pattern from south to north, rain in the south, but snow up north, and probably worth a few inches up in there. Melted amounts of precipitation on this are forecast to be between half and a little over an inch. So if that were all snow, that would equate to anywhere from 5 to 10 inches. I think you're only going to see those amounts maybe in the northern edge of the forecast area.
And more of the same after that until the New Year's holiday or not?
Yeah, there is more of the same. We have a little dusting coming by. After this goes by Saturday morning and it turns windy and really quite cold, another system comes through the lakes, just a minor system, and puts down a dusting of snow maybe late Sunday in northern areas, aided by the lake effect. Then Tuesday, it looks like we have a major system coming out of the southern plains and coming right across the state on Tuesday and into early Wednesday. And then it'll all be gone by late Wednesday night, and Christmas morning looks like a beautiful day with plenty of snow around and a real white Christmas for everybody.
Turn your attention to South America. Argentina in line for a little bit of rain over the weekend?
Yeah, they've finally gotten some rain in there. They had some in the western growing areas, which had been dry, and they'll probably pick up a little bit more, but it remains dry in the areas further east in some of those summer crop areas. They just can't seem to catch enough precipitation to make people comfortable. So I think they've got a little bit of a problem. Further north, though, in Brazil, rain came along and managed to relieve drought conditions this past week, or where it had been very dry. So most of that area is, I think, in pretty good shape.
Thank you much, Peter.
My pleasure.
agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, Todd Gleason's report, as well as the weather on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the Audio Analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.